Now? Not, oh, right now no, we're recording?
No, no. Now we're recording.
Now we're recording.
Now we're recording.
Just my wallet mic stand.
I like how you're positioning the microphone professionally at the corner of your mouth.
You like that?
Yeah. So we can do our standard opening. Welcome to the podcast.
Where I don't know if I'm into the thing, podcast thing today.
Not into the podcast thing today? No.
And I have to get over to the studio.
Okay. So you're preoccupied?
Stuff.
Okay. All right.
Done.
We're done.
But at least we know it works.
At least can say today's closing word of wisdom.
Closing
for our 42nd.
I'm so 42nd
podcast of the day.
Sid is not into it today. That's what we've determined.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry.
You know, wherever you go in this world,
there you are.
There you are.
And that's our podcast.
It's been real and it's been fun, but I don't know if it's been real fun.
Yeah, it's just not meant to be.
It's just our test.
This is just our test.
Lord of the Rings trilogy coming to Blu-ray. Just so you know, Blu-ray. Lord of the Rings.
I hear 800,000 homes are without power.
300?
So 800,000?
800 now? That's a lot.
We heard this on Twitter via via Elise.
Well, I'm without power.
You're without power?
Yep. So you're, still, I try calling.
You're one of 800,000.
Only one of the very few people in Nashville without power.
Really? Oh, son of a bee.
Londonderry, New Hampshire. She's retweeting Londonderry, New Hampshire Twitter account. 700,000 are without power in New York and New England total. Ice storm was only 326,000 outages. This could be a very long restoration process.
And there you have it. Okay. Shutting it down. Shutting it all down.
Bye.
Bye. Take this microphone and you say the word, say the phrase I'm supposed to repeat, and I will see how that goes.
Okay.
All right. So apparently, I've been just told by a very good friend of mine that I don't enunciate, and I can feel it. My mouth just flaps around. I don't pay attention to the appropriate sphincter action of the mouth. Hard consonants.
Hard consonants.
And incontinence? Is that what I have? Incontinence of the mouth is
oral incontinence.
Oral incontinence. So if I am just a little more aware of how I'm working my mouth.
Yes.
And I can apparently so much
better. And
pace
things just a little slower. If you go back and reference the podcast where you guys were interviewing me, you will hear me pacing myself. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that's because I don't think very quick, but you know.
You did fine, I thought.
Well, thank you, but I tried to be very clear and very distinct.
Really?
Yes.
So that's why your voice sounds so good on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
Because you are clear and distinct. I couldn't say Studio 99 on that podcast.
No, you said it wrong in several different ways, actually.
I said studio and stupidadio. I don't think I even pronounced your name right.
You did fine with my name.
Really?
Elise. Yeah. It's
Elise.
Not that tough.
Yeah. I don't remember. Okay, so what are some phrases I could try to say to test my consonants?
How many boards could the Mongols hoard if the Mongol hordes got bored?
How many boards could the Mongols hoard if the Mongols bored hoard gourd? I have a terrible memory. This is why I did so bad in French.
How can a clam cram in a clean cream can?
How can a clam cram in a clean cream clam? What?
Can. Send toast to 10 tents, stout saints, 10 tall tents.
What? You're just making this stuff up.
No, I'm reading it. I'm reading it.
Send toast to a 10 tent saints, 10... I know we're close.
Koi knows pseudo-noise codes.
Koi knows... Can you use regular sentences? So things are about five words.
Sheena leads, Sheila needs.
Sheila leads.
Sheena leads.
Sheena?
Sheena, like Sheena Easton.
Sheena Easton.
Sheena leads.
Sheena leads.
Sheila needs.
Sheila needs.
No, say that fast.
Sheila needs.
Sheena leads.
Sheena needs.
No, wait. Sheila needs.
Sheila needs. Yeah, I'm very bad at this kind of like écouté et répété.
The 33 thieves thought that they had thrilled the throne throughout Thursday. I don't know. I'm reading.
All right, but so you're reading them properly. Let me just come over there because we're over here and
read them.
Okay.
The 33 thieves.
The 33 thieves. Okay, I'll read it the way that I usually would read it.
Okay.
The 33 thieves thought that they thrilled the throne throughout Thursday. So now I will attempt to be mouth aware. I'll try to move my mouth up and down. The tongue will not just flap along with the rest of the mouth. It will actually have some contribution to the noise-making process.
And I don't think sphincter is the word you're looking for.
I think lips is the term.
I think you want to just make the aperture size of your mouth be more varied so that you're dropping
really?
Your jaw more. Yes, drop your jaw more.
Drop my jaw more.
Drop your jaw.
The 33 thieves thought that... Oh, wait. The 33... No, spit's coming out of my mouth when I do that. Okay, let me get... Now it's gone. The 33 thieves thought that they thrilled the throne throughout Thursday.
Now you have to be exactly that distinct, but faster. The 33 thieves thought that they thrilled the throne throughout Thursday.
The 33 thieves thought that they thrilled the throne throughout Thursday.
That's better.
It's like moving my mouth is like a lot harder than I thought.
You will actually feel yourself getting sore. Like I feel when I speak French,
yeah.
I actually get a sore mouth because French is all u and u, it's like, and it's all very forward in your mouth. So I'm holding my mouth in a different way.
Oh, that's true.
It's Americans like, speak way at the back of their mouth, and French are like it's all up front.
That's interesting.
So I actually get sore if I'm having a conversation with someone in French for half
an
hour.
Can you speak
French? Serviceably. Mm-hmm. Serviceably. So, I've got a great accent. I have terrible grammar, and I have only okay vocabulary, but I have a great accent.
So what's your best shot as a French phrase?
Well, let me read some French to you from the web.
Oh. Here we have a reading of French on the web.
French prose. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. French prose, fiction. La la la. French studies. No, that's not what I want. How about this? French prose, Google Books results. This is like French prose from the 1800s.
Hmm.
How about something more modern?
That would be nice.
modern.
Specimens.
I'm just not doing a good search here at all. Not at all.
Maybe you can find isn't The Little Prince online? Read from that. That'd be awesome.
Le Petit Prince. Okay.
Lorsque j'avais 6 ans, j'ai vu une fois une magnifique image dans le livre sur le frère vierge qui s'appelait Histoire vécue. Ça représentait un serpent bois qui avalait une fauve. Voilà la copie du dessin.
I can hear how it's coming forward in your mouth.
Very.
It's like you're holding it like just behind the back teeth on the tip of, mm-hmm. or not really on the tip of your tongue, but kind of like in the upper front.
Unlike Americans, we speak way back,
way back in the back of our mouths all the time.
So where does it sound like my voice is coming from?
I think that you're speaking with a fairly typical American, back of the mouth kind of thing. It's just that you're not really used to putting the front of your mouth through enough of its paces.
I never thought of it like that. So the back of my mouth is where my tonsils would be?
Yes.
Or?
Yep. Sort of where your mouth and your throat meet.
And the front of my mouth is, I guess, the space right between the teeth?
Yes. Sort of, the lips, the teeth, all of that.
So
that's kind of where the nuanced end of speech happens.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to work on this week, and then at some point in the future we can try this again. You can tell me if it's any better. So we've got it logged for posterity.
Excellent. I mean, that's why when you have someone who doesn't speak French all that well or doesn't have a very good accent, they just sort of keep the American accent. They're like, j'ai alors beaucoup réfléchi sur la aventure de la jungle et à mon tour j'ai réussi avec un crayon de couleur.
So when you were speaking French here, were you not... Were you trying to have a neutral French accent?
I've been told that my French accent is classically Parisian, actually.
Really?
I fool people into thinking that I speak fluently because my accent's good.
Wow.
My grammar's terrible, mm-hmm. and my vocabulary is only so-so.
When my dad travels to Japan, people think he's a native, but they can't quite place what a prefecture he comes from. Because he grew up speaking Japanese. He was in Taiwan under Japanese colonial rule. So Japanese was one of his first language. And Taiwanese was I guess the language he had at the same time. So he grew up being taught by Japanese teachers, Japanese speakers.
Really?
And he can go to Japan, he can ride the rails, and no one knows he's not from there.
Wow.
But they can't figure out where he comes from. And I tested this because my dad told me this. And I was I mostly believed him, but I had this roommate, Hirosh, who's from Japanese. And I mentioned this story to him, and Hirosh was all kinds of doubtful. He said, "Oh yeah, really?" But then when my dad came to visit, for a graduation, my dad struck up a conversation with him, and then Hirosh came to me and said, "I really can't tell. He's not from. Apparently, it's a really good accent." So.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I go in and have my phrase book with me or my LaRousse, if I have to look up the occasional word, and then I can sort of formulate in advance what I'm going to say, that's good. Or when I read, I know enough about what I'm reading. Like I can tell sort of the general topic. So I can say, yep, that's this verb. I wouldn't have been able to conjugate this verb properly on my own, but I know what verb it is. I mean, I know enough to know what verb it is. So I can sort of, I even get the inflection correct so that my sentences pretty much rise and fall in the right way.
Do you ever try to do an outrageous French accent?
Those are really hard to do. I mean, I think that you have to be a pretty decent French speaker in order to sort of mock the language. I mean, I can do that with British accents.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Can you read French with a British accent?
No.
No.
That would be really hard to do.
I used to wonder if the reason why I did so bad in language courses was because I knew my accent wasn't good, so I didn't even try.
Oh.
So, but then I thought, if I really tried to capture what I thought the essence was of the way it sounded.
Yes.
And the insight came to me after, when I was in grad school, I realized that I could speak Chinese better. Wow. I'm a terrible Chinese speaker. My grammar is awful. My tone, my pronunciation is awful. But the grammar part, I figured out I could do much better if I imitated the way the Chinese grad students spoke English, because they were using Chinese grammar.
Right, and word order.
Yeah, and word order. So you just drop all the articles.
Yes.
And you go taking that over there. You just translate that into Chinese, and it comes out right. I don't think they would say taking. You go over there, take, or take that. So I just channel my inner Chinese uncle, and I don't have a Chinese uncle that talks like that. But the sort of stereotypical Chinese uncle, you stop doing that. How would they say that? Well, back when I heard more Chinese people who did not have English as a first language speaking, I had a much better grasp of the grammar then. I said, and then maybe if I channeled that into, if I tried to sound Chinese instead of I'm an American speaking Chinese, damn it.
Right. Right.
It would work better. And the same in French class. I took 4 years of high school French. Can't speak a lick of it.
Really?
Really, really. And partly is I didn't really... I was not inspired, let's say, by our French-Canadian French teacher. But then 1 year I took French with the other French teacher, Madame, what's her name? She was really cool. She and her husband were traveling teachers, and they'd settled in Taiwan for a while just to rest from all their running around. And they spoke they enjoyed the language, and they enjoyed being part of the culture.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful language.
Yeah.
I was not all that into French in high school either, but then I started going up to Quebec to ski and started going up to Quebec City and to Montreal in the summer times for jazz concerts and jazz festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started speaking on the ground, in real situations. And that is what really got me started. And then my friend Maurice, who actually played at Studio 99's opening, the guitarist, he used to have this amazing French expat community around Boston, and they used to get together and have these all-French dinners.
Huh.
And it didn't matter how lame you were at speaking the language. The only rule was that you had to speak only French all night. You were not allowed to speak any English or any other language ever during the evening. And that's it. So you got better.
Wow.
Because you just had to struggle. struggle with it.
Yeah, I don't like struggling either. Maybe that's another aspect of my poor language acquisition skills.
I think after you get up to a certain point, a certain number of words, you can kind of struggle and you know, make poorly constructed sentences but still communicate. And once you get over that hurdle, then you're okay.
Yeah, and I think for me, getting over the idea that I need to be a perfect speaker, because I am so used to being like made fun of for not speaking Chinese well, and like
the best
compliment I could get, I could hope for, is like they'd ask me if I was from Hong Kong or not.
Wow.
Because my Chinese apparently was that bad. Like the Hong Kong, they speak, I guess, Cantonese there.
Uh-huh.
And so that doesn't translate well to speaking Mandarin, which is like the language I was trying to speak. So like if I was trying to buy something from a store, they'd kind of look at me and says, like, are you from Hong Kong? And I'd say, sometimes I would say yes. Sometimes I would say like an American. And they go, oh.
Oh,
like
we
that.
See.
That was like a good situation. Otherwise, I'd just get yelled at.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was not good for my self-esteem.
That's no good. So that means that you're somewhat timid then about language issues in
a
way that's not in keeping with the rest of your personality.
Right. It's something I bury. Mm-hmm. And I think some of this perfectionism, like, tendencies, they come from that too.
Mm-hmm. So. I think I was predisposed actually to wanting to speak French because all of the best flute players in the 1800s were all French, and the entire flute school, modern flute school, all French people, Jean-Pierre Rampal, all those guys, all French. And also the shape that you put your mouth into to play any instrument, that the word for that is embouchure.
Embouchure?
Which uses the word, the French word bouche, which means mouth. It literally is an elegant way to say that shape that you put your mouth in to play your wind instrument.
Wow.
That's what embouchure means. So the French have this way of coming up with one word that means a lot of stuff and having it sound kind of cool.
Do the French have a special word for French kissing?
I'm not sure. I think it's sort of the same thing as like French fries. They're actually Belgian.
It's Belgian kissing?
French fries are actually Belgian.
They are what?
They are.
And Belgian waffles?
I don't know about that.
Huh. Sweet.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More shocking revelations here on the podcast. Hmm. Well, thank you, Elise, for that exciting lesson in, what do you call it, diction?
Embouchure management.
Embouchure management. So, like, for this diction music minute is saying. So, like, this is the week that I will be opening my mouth wider.
And it's not even just about getting your consonants to be better. It's about rounding out your vowels. For instance, you'll hear a lot of people who say, you know, Ann and Danny went over there and they did the Ann and Danny. And like, you know, you should be saying Ann and Danny went and, you know, they went and ate some sassafras.
Really?
Ann and Danny. So you're not like Ann and Danny, you know, because that pushes it through your nose and gives you a nasal sound, which eventually is going to make your audience want to kill themselves.
Really?
No.
Sing nasally? Is singing different than...
If you're Neil Young, you can do that. But I mean, if you or Tom Petty, you know, and you know, it's very, it's sort of like, you know, Bob Dylan. He's like, somebody stole my pencil. You know, I mean, and some people make that their trademark, but the singers that, you know, really are more pleasing on the ear, they drop their jaw more. And it's not so much about the consonants, it's about round vowel sound. Round vowel sounds.
Huh.
Round, as opposed to round vowel sounds.
Yeah. That's something I tell...
We're driving
speakers.
Sid out of the room now.
He has to go work. He's like...
He's so had it with this.
Yeah.
He's so out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If things look bad, do give me a call and I will drop in.
Okay.
I have a couple of things over there that I would prefer not get rained on. You know?
Yep. I guess that's it. Thanks, Elise, for testing out the equipment here.
You're welcome.
It'd be interesting to see how the extremely live qualities of this room affect the way that this sounds.
I want you to play this file back, and then you can hear yourself, you know, like with poor diction and with better diction.
Oh.
And ask yourself, if you were a person that didn't know what you were about to say, i.e. someone other than you,
uh-huh.
Which version would you rather listen to? That's all.
Yeah, I hear my sloppy diction on every podcast, so it's I just like was getting used to it. Okay. But I knew it was the kind of insight I wanted, so that I would know how it was sounding, and I could like practice this and weed out all those things.
That's it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Elise.